Blog Talk Radio.
Dollhouse Radio. You're listening to Urban Society. I'm your host, James A. Jones. My co-host, James Acevedo, informed me early he won't be with us tonight. But our other co-hosts, Russell L. Benford, author of the book Lies, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Happiness, and Cobra Commander, are here with us tonight. So our caller number is area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038. And before I go into tonight's topics, I guess, guys, you ought to come on and introduce yourselves to the listeners.
Yep, I guess I'll go first. Yeah, this is Russell Benford checking in. You can follow me on Twitter at Cypher Divine, that's CyPherDivine. And let's get it started.
Hey, you all. How you all doing? This is Cobra Commander. You can follow me on Twitter as well, Hooligan Nation. And I'm just out here excited. Let's go, y'all.
Okay. And Cobra, I've been meaning to ask you, are you on Facebook also or you're not?
No, I'm not on Facebook. I'm going to probably give me a Facebook today.
Okay. I was just curious about that. Okay, so we're going to go right on into our topics that we're going to be going over tonight. Our first topic is going to be Justice Department ready to clear Ferguson officer. The second topic will be group seeks new grand jury in Ferguson police shooting case, and then related issues. And then we're going to go, I want to go back into the issue that we had touched on last week, lastly, which was 8 white people who pointed guns at police officers and managed not to get killed. Because tonight I want to go into particulars of that particular article that were related. And then we're going to try to get into the next topic, which would be lynch law. In other words, some history on that phenomenon as I read some now before and even after the Civil War and on into the 1950s even. And then the last topic we'll try to get into will be 5 political reasons Obama seems soft on race when he's not. Someone wrote that article. So, with that having been said, let's get right on into the topic, the first topic, which is Justice Department ready to clear Ferguson officer. And I got the article here in front of me, and it starts off saying the U.S. Justice Department is about to close the investigation into the shooting death of an unarmed black teenager in Ferguson, Missouri, and clear the white police officer involved of any civil rights charges. And it goes on further to say that the newspaper quoted law enforcement officials as saying that federal prosecutors had begun work on a legal memo recommending no civil rights charges against the officer, Darren Wilson, after an FBI investigation found no evidence to support charges against him. The Justice Department declined to comment. The family won't address speculation from anonymous sources, the lawyer for the family said. That's that attorney Crump. And it goes on to further to say that Neil Brunschrager, an attorney for Wilson, said Wilson's lawyers had received no communication from the Justice Department and would not comment until there was a final determination. And we have somebody here in quotes, and it's that same guy, that Brunschrager, who says, we don't believe he has done anything that would merit any kind of prosecution or any kind of civil rights claims, and we are just awaiting the outcome like everybody else. Wilson, who said he was acting in self-defense when he fatally shot Brown, resigned from the Ferguson police force, as we know, in November. So, I had been hearing about this Justice Department concluding its investigation into this case earlier in the week, maybe like midweek. And based upon what I was hearing, it was like the whole situation had already been concluded. But then I began to, you know, read articles on the internet which was indicating that it has not yet been concluded. And therefore, right now, it's just speculation that's rampant out there that there will be no charges brought against Darren Wilson, which isn't exactly the case because nothing official has come down as of yet. So in a real sense, we are still waiting on that. But it's just a wonder to me. I'm always wondering. That's my problem, I guess. It's just a wonder to me that, you know, the news media is so hot and heavy on these speculations. So what do we have to say about this, well, this media speculation? Or do we want to even call it media speculation?
Well, I want to comment first. It's Cobra. I'm going to say you are looking at a genuine propaganda. This is how it starts. They're trying to push the issue now. It's been too long. When they came out, they made it sound so official. I saw it on CNN, ESPN. I saw it everywhere, but yet no one's commenting on it. I would think on a case so dramatic that the Justice Department itself would have held a press conference for it. You dig what I'm saying?
Well, exactly.
But it was nothing of the sort. So it's you getting the propaganda of people just putting stuff out there. You know what I mean? So I feel like it's honestly, Mr. Jones, this is a subject that really ain't worth talking about until we have a resolution, because it's just people imaginary wishing and just trying to let it go. and it's not, and it's it haven't been until the Justice Department let it go, it's not let go. So,
well, I'd agree with that, but it is worth talking about how they are talking about it. You know, the established media, which is right now. I mean, it's insane almost. And also, you don't have to call me Mr. Jones. I'm James. I just wanted to tell you that. Having been in the military, I'll say, you know, as they would say there, I work for a living. You know, that's neither here nor there. But, yeah, but I would agree with what you're saying right now. Yes, all this speculation that is, in fact, rampant, it's not good. It's not good at all. I feel it's totally not good. And we can even say, going back previously to what has happened there in Ferguson, it's almost as if, again, somebody is wanting to stir something up all over again by just coming out and saying that the Justice Department has already concluded that no charges will be brought against Darren Wilson. And, well, just that. And then further, it seems to me that that no doubt there are those there in the Justice Department who no doubt have concluded this. So it could be a situation wherein those in the media are printing what those individuals are saying, who feel that the situation has been concluded, and secondly, who do feel that no charges should be brought against Darren Wilson. It could be a situation such as that as well.
Well, you got people who are going to always put their own 2 cents into it. You know, it's like how I feel personally. I feel that Mr. Wilson should have been charged with murder. I feel he should be on trial for that. But that's my opinion and the opinion of many others. But until we have an official say, it's nothing but speculation, or in my mind, I even call it propaganda. It's just straight propaganda. And the thing about it, I'm not too keen on the media. And oh, my goodness, Fox rock with this story so hard. Geraldo had a show on it, and it was just amazing how they just rock with something that has not been confirmed. But that's what they do all the time.
I hear you. Well, I long ago ceased watching Geraldo, although at one point in time I used to look forward to watching his segments. But certain thing happened back during that time when I haven't seen him since, and actually don't want to see him anymore. But that's another issue. Okay, so well, Russell, you want to say something on this as well, because we have other topics that are somewhat related to this, and we can move right along, or
not especially. I mean, I think that, you know, when after the case, and they said it was, you know, going to the Justice Department and everything like that, I mean, it was really just to placate black folks, you know.
I agree.
Hoping and praying and wishing upon a star, you know, that and that's one of the unfortunate conditions of black people in this country, is that, you know, the same system, the same government that is the cause of your grievances, the cause of your injustice, then you want to turn around and then try to make appeals to the same system. I mean, it's and hoping that they do like the game show says and have a change of heart, you know. But more often than not, is not the case. And as far as speaking of Fox News, and, you know, all the white supremacists jumped on it, like, yeah, see, I told you. And you hanging your hat on a system that historically black folks couldn't get justice in the court system. So I'm like, you know, so this instance is in no way a validation of anything. I mean, soon as a white person says, you know, wag the finger. I mean, I only have two words, and that's Mega Evers. You know,
ooh.
So, you know, so I really could give two fucks. You know, if it turned, you know, if when things work out for a black person, you know, that's like finding, you know, a unicorn in the bat cave. You know, it's not something that you expect to happen. Is, you know, it's an unfortunate thing. You know, I mean, I'm pretty sure when those instances when it does happen, you know, most white people be scratching their head like, well, how the hell that happened? How did that slip under? You know, it's a thing of they're playing the law of averages. You know.
Okay, that's something right there, the law of averages. But okay, hold that thought until we get back. Because
okay,
right now we
ahead.
Have to go to this break, our first music break, more so from Rico Barino, entitled Go Ahead. But hold that thought, what you just said there, because I have something else to say to that as well. So here's Rico Barino, Go Ahead.
Go ahead, 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 go
Okay, welcome back to Indy Morello Dollhouse Radio. This is Urban Society. And we just heard a song from Rico Barreno entitled Go Ahead. And our caller number here is area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's 646-595-4038. So, Russell, going back to what you were last saying, you were speaking something about the law of averages. But in terms of what?
Well, I won't call it the law of averages. I guess a better analogy is white people are the Harlem Globetrotters and black folks are the Washington Generals. You know, the record shows, you know, saying that it's like, they say 400 victories to two. You know, and black people, you know, in this system, you know, we put on a good show, and the courts and everything talk about how they gonna do their due diligence, and you know, and somebody gives a speech, and you know, and this that and the other, but yeah, it's like the Washington Generals, you know, if you think that you're going to win, you know what I'm saying? You're kidding yourself. If you do win, then it's like, you know, break out the champagne and the confetti. But it's all a facade, you know. But
patronizing.
Yeah, exactly. The Globetrotters and the Washington Generals. That's black folks in the court system.
Well, I can follow what you're saying there, but then again, I'll put it this way. I would hope to disagree with that, although I would have to say that.
I hope Taraji P. Henson come in my apartment right now. But, you know what I'm saying, I'm going by evidence.
That is true.
You know what I'm saying? I can hope for a whole lot of things. You know what I'm saying? But what does the evidence show? You know,
reality is what it is. Russell is on point, and the thing about it is, it's just the reality of it. We wish for a better system. We wish that it be fair, but the odds are not fair. The point of the fact is, like Russell said, that it's a reality. It's a total reality.
But at the same time, you know, we have to realize that we wish for a better system. But then again, I always come back to the point that it is people and or individuals that make up a system, regardless of what system it is. And having said that, I'll also say that, today isn't the same as yesterday. I mean, in a real sense, it is not. And a example of that, I will just bring back to individuals in the sense that black people in particular, I will say that we are not afraid or as afraid as we were in the years gone by. And that is evident in where we are today. And having said that, I'll also say that that's why...
Not afraid of what?
Well, whatever. Whatever.
Yeah, though, that's not true. That's not
true.
I disagree with that.
Listen to what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that, okay, it may appear not to be true, but then again, if it was not true, we wouldn't be where we are today.
Listen, go ahead.
As I'm saying, we wouldn't be where we are today because of men who got us to where we are today. And by the same token, I mean, right now, the way it is, I mean, a lot of wishy-washy people, for lack of a better word or term, are now in positions of power, be they white and or be they black. But then again, you know, on the fringes of, let's say, the inner circle, there are people who are, in fact, you know, still pushing. So, therefore, to go into what you were saying, Russell, about, you know, it being a facade, surely it does seem like that. But I'm not going to believe like that because, I mean, come on. They can't.
See,
When you know,
you don't have to believe. You know
what I'm saying? But
when you say black people are less afraid, I want you to introduce me to these black people that if they enter a courtroom, they are not afraid that they are not going to get any type of jail time. You know, yeah, any type of shaft, any type of exorbitant fine. Introduce me to those people, and especially common people. We ain't talking about multi-millionaire celebrities. Introduce me to those black people that when they get pulled, when they have an encounter with the police, you know what I'm saying, that they are less afraid of it going south than in previous decades. Introduce me to those black people. That if there's a situation and there's a black person and it's a black person and a white person, introduce me to those black people that are confident that that their word is going to get taken over the white person's word.
But what you're saying and are asking right there, I think that's another issue. But then again,
you said black people are. I mean, you know, what I'm saying? if black people are less afraid, then you need to get on TV and tell Black Lives Matter and I Can't Breathe and all them other folks, what the fuck are y'all doing? You ain't got shit to worry about out here.
But like I said,
that's what you're saying.
But no. What I also said was that unfortunately, right now we have a lot of wishy-washy individuals who are being paraded before us as authentic people who are about change. I put it like that.
Can I say something? Go ahead.
All right, go ahead.
My thing is, it's not wishy-washy. And what you're saying is wishy-washy. Let's be specific. Who are you referring to as wishy-washy? Because if you're referring to like a what's his name, Jesse Jackson or Al Sharpton, they wishy-washy. They're doing their jobs as a part of that solution for the other individuals. I don't count them as that. And white people as a whole, they ain't shit wishy-washy about them. They don't like us. They're going to do what they're going to do. I had an experience today where I was pulled over my car today and told me point blank, and they read my license, read the plate, and asked me who car I'm driving just because I'm in my Bentley.
Two things I want to say. First thing is even with people that don't have a plan, or a plan of change, or, you know, a sense of direction, or, you know, what we should do, or whatever, the, you know, things of that nature, it doesn't negate a person's sentiment that, hey, something's not right. I don't know what to do, but I know I'm not happy with my current condition.
Mm-hmm.
In that sense, I don't think people are wishy-washy in the least bit. Now I do say that there's a little bit of wishy-washiness in terms of people vacillating in terms of we should do this or we should do that, or you know what I'm saying?
There's no direction.
But that doesn't negate the fact that hey, this right here is not cool though. My second question is, do you think that there is more, less, or equal white supremacy in 2015 than, we say, 1967?
I would say it's the same, although it – Well, listen, I'm saying that it's the same, but then again, it has changed because, case in point, the majority of them don't just come right out today and call us niggas because they know about something that, like, they shouldn't and or can't and or we're not having it. But having said that, listen.
Well,
now,
can I go ahead? Go ahead.
I put it.
All right. All right, let me listen.
I have one response to that. If you say that the sentiment of white supremacy is the same, then it would be foolish. It would be absolutely not in the best interest for black people to not behoove that, not be prudent to that fact, that if the sentiment still lingers in the air. And secondly, as far as not being called nigger, that is inconsequential. Like most people focus on the word and not the
better
treatment
than the
and the actions. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I'm the youngster here. I've never been called a nigger, but have I received?
But that don't mean you will not be. But listen,
yeah,
that don't mean you will not be.
Let me finish this point.
I've never been called a nigger, but have I received treatment as such?
Nigger treatment.
Second class human being, or not even that. Certainly, and not the word, but when you talk about my latte or kafir or kusim, or it's a whole lot, you know what I'm saying? It's a whole lot of N words that ain't the N word, but mean the N word. So in every culture, when you want to find who the niggers are, they can easily be identified, and it's the people that are the most dark skin and the people that have the most Africanoid features. You know what I'm saying? I can give you a whole list of nigger synonyms.
Okay, but like maybe I
well, can
well,
I answer
like,
the question?
So,
can I answer
so you,
question?
So when you fo-
can
so
I
when you focus
question?
On the word, so when you just focus on the word, then you miss it. Then you miss the whole boat.
Well,
can I answer
okay,
Russell's question?
All right. I want to respond to something else, but okay, Cobra, go ahead. Let us listen.
I want to answer what Russell. The question was: it's white supremacy. I think it's more, and they're more sophisticated with it. Because yes, they use the political correctness as to the term to settle us down. But like you said, the word, the N word, specifically may not be used. Like you said, he's the youngster here. I have been called nigger before, and he's the younger here. But the thing about it, the new nigger word now is thug. They like to refer to us as thugs or animal or my favorite one, they look like demons. It's all in the same boat, but just as my dad would say, it's all the same pig but dressed up differently.
What I want to say because it seems right now that we are stuck on that word that I threw out there, which was nigger. But then again, it's just not about that word. But like to me, that was like the most the most egregious expression that I wanted to throw out there. But no, it's just not about the word. And then again, as Russell has said, yes, it is also about action also mm-hmm. of those racist individuals against black people. Those actions are, in fact, still there. Yes, I'm totally aware of that. And also I want to say, all right, let me say this here before I forget. Okay, yes, I am, in fact, totally aware of that. But I also want to bring up this particular crumb of information, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Let me leave it like that because I can't think of the right phrase I want to use. But we have to keep in mind that where our minds are, our minds right now, the three of us talking right now about racism even or white supremacy even, think back to when, like, we were 10, 9, 8, 7 years old. We didn't know a damn thing about none of that. We had to grow up to learn about that either through experience and or through reading about it and or just observing. But, again, we didn't know about it at all. And by the same token, there are people today even growing up not knowing a damn thing about racism, not even knowing what racism is or is not. You follow what I'm saying?
Racism being a social construct, it has to be taught.
But no. I'm not talking about it being a social construct in the sense that, well, no, I'm not even talking about it being a social construct.
You're talking about racism.
I'm talking about the victims of racism not knowing what racism is not. When racist things happen to victims of racism, they wonder, what the fuck? Why'd they do that? I don't understand. And we don't understand. But
it's the same thing when a white child seen a black person being spoken to differently, being treated differently, and their thought process is like, yo, why is that person being looked at suspiciously? So it goes both ways, which is why, like I said, understanding the dynamics of racism in terms of white superiority, black inferiority, is a learned behavior on both ends.
But yes and no to that, because you're talking about both ends. But then again, in my opinion, you're talking about different ends of both ends. I'll put it like that. That might sound a bit obscure, but I more so know what I'm saying, and it would take some time to explain exactly what I meant there. But the main thing I'm saying there is that, you know, we had to grow into, well, victims of racism have to grow into knowing and or recognizing or even assuming what racism is or isn't. Maybe I shouldn't say assuming, because then that goes into conjecture, because at certain points in time, there is no doubt in what is, you know, well, when somebody does something to somebody just because of the color of their skin.
And that's one of the things that helped, the way racism has been able to disguise itself in this system, because the burden of proof has been put on the victim. You know,
so if something happens. But Russell, sorry about that, I'm holding that thought, because we have already overtalked the established break time. But come back to that. We're going to come back to that thought there. But right now, this break is going to be a song from Usher featuring Juicy J in I Don't Mind. So Usher featuring Juicy J, I Don't Mind. And we'll be right back.
Yeah. Usher, baby. This for the A. Shawty, I don't mind. If you dance on a pole, that'll make you a hoe. Shawty, I don't mind when you work until three. If you're leaving with me, gon' make that money, money, money. Your money, money, money. Cause I know how it is. Gon' handle your biz and get that money, money, money. Your money, money, money. You can take off your clothes, long as you coming home, girl, I don't mind. The ballers in here tonight, they gon' buy 100 bottles. As soon as you shake it, I know they gon' make it colossal in here. Cause shawty, you thinking them tricks that you do with your body. Got all of these niggas, they crowding around you like they sing Beyonce in here. You want your own and you need your own, baby, who am I to judge? How could I ever trip about it when I met you in the club? I make enough for the both of us, but you dance anyway. You know I was raised in the A, shawty, I don't mind. If you dance on a pole, that'll make you a hoe, shawty, I don't mind. When you work until three, if you're leaving with me, gon' make that money, money, money. Your money, money, money. Cause I know how it is. Gon' handle your biz and get that money, money, money. Your money, money, money. You can take off your clothes, long as you coming home, girl, I don't mind.
No, I don't.
When you get off of work, I'll be ready to go in the Rari. And when we get home, we have us our own private party in here. So I don't worry at all about the things they do or say. I love you anyway. You can twerk while in a split. You racking up them tips. Your body rocking, your booty popping. I'm proud to call you my bitch. They be looking, but they can't touch you, shawty. I'm the only one to get it. So just go ahead, keep doing what you do. If you dance on a pole, that'll make you a hoe. Shawty, I don't mind when you work until three. If you're leaving with me, don't make that money, money, money. Your money, money, money. Cause I know how it is. Gonna handle your biz and make that money, money, money. Your money, money, money. You can take off your clothes as long as you come in home.
I'm just tryna cut her up, tryna bust a nut, tryna kick somebody bitch, turn her to a slut, tryna fill my cup, tryna live it up, throw some hundreds on her ass, walk her out the club. Lap dance for the first date. Better throw a few bands, that's third base. It's okay if you work late. We can still party like it's your birthday. We can still party hard in your birthday suit. Knock the pussy out the park like my name Beirut. Shawty, she just wanna tip, I just wanna see a strip. If you fuck me like you love me, shawty, you might get rich. Have her own cake, her own place. Blowing own gas, no Rolex. When we in the bed, she like a role play. Tell her friend to join in both ways.
Shawty, I don't mind if you dance on a pole. Don't make you a hoe. I don't mind when you work until three. If you leave with me, cause I know you gotta make that
money, money, money. Your money, money, money.
Cause I know how it is. Girl, go and do your biz. Make that
money, money, money. Your money, money, money.
You can take off your clothes as long as you coming home. Girl, I don't mind.
Okay, welcome back to Indy Morrell's Dollhouse Radio. You're listening to Urban Society. Urban Society, our caller number is 646-595-4038. That's 646-595-4038. So, Russell, you were lastly saying?
Yeah, I was saying that's one of the beauties of racism in this white dominant society is that is this ability to disguise itself, you know. When a white person does something, you know, it could be racially motivated, or a person could just be an asshole, you know, when someone does something to you, it's because, you know, it could be because you're black, or it could just be because a person doesn't like you personally. You know, and that's one of the things that that white people use when they talk about the race card. You know, say which again is a white supremacist notion in itself, that something is only racist when white people deem that, oh no, that was racist. When a black person says something is racist, then they're playing the race card. Something is only racist when white people agree with the notion, I think that was racially motivated. It's very sophisticated.
I will say that in a real sense.
Prime examples are the cases that we're talking about right now. Mike Brown, Eric Garner, Trayvon Martin. You know what I'm saying? They, for white people, you know, when white people is like, no, it's because of this or because of that. You know what I'm saying? When a black person says, when a black person says, these individuals were killed or mistreated or whatever, excessive force used against them because of the color of their skin, then that's playing the race card.
I give another prime example. The prime example is y'all have seen that article, how they've taken off
the Senate disinvolved or no longer going to use civil rights anymore. Did y'all read that article where they talk about they no longer going to use the word civil rights or humanity? They're just going to use it as a constitutional thing now. They taking that off the board.
I mean, I haven't seen that, but I think that is one thing that I will say though is I find it very sad and comically so that in 2015 black people are still talking about civil rights.
Civil rights.
And not understanding the real legal meaning and etymology of civil. You know, what black people need to be talking about is human rights or natural rights, you know, or shit, even inalienable rights, or constitutional rights. But for black people to still be talking about civil rights, that means that they ain't figured the game out yet.
But okay,
go ahead.
Well, okay, I hear what you're saying there, but what I also was going to say earlier about, well, I had said earlier that blacks are not as fearful as they were or we were yesterday, and I also say that we are more intelligent today than we were yesterday also. So, I mean, that is, in fact, a plus-plus, so therefore, eventually, and I would even say soon, all these maneuvers that are being done, and believe me, like you said earlier, Russell, you know, a lot of us today we see what's happening, and we just wonder, you know, how can they do that? Where before we didn't even see that, but then again, we had to evolve to see what we are now seeing. And again, there are a lot of people who are not evolving, and no doubt will not evolve, but that's another issue.
But it's not enough of us evolving enough. And also, until we get our own structure, we can't really make no maneuvers.
But even there, that's another issue there. But okay, we've gotten bogged down on that, and then now
okay,
I'm even wondering, based upon the way the conversation had gone, I'm even wondering now, well, I'll throw it to you guys. If I should go on and read this article now about group seeks new grand jury in the Ferguson police union.
Oh, no.
Okay.
No.
You talking about with the situation when they talking about the juror perjured herself and
not that part of it, or better to say not that nuanced situation in it, but the whole new thing. Well, like the whole thing on a previous show, I had spoke about this judge, McShane. I forget her first name, but I think it's McShane.
I know what you're talking about.
She could, push the reset button on, you know, the whole case. And then now this NAACP Legal Defense Fund, Legal Defense and Educational Fund, is trying to go about having that done. But then again, based upon what we have just said and then what COVID just said there, it'll never happen. So let us.
That would be career suicide for her. That would be career suicide.
I can't say if it'll happen or not. You know, stranger things have happened. If it does happen though, I'm not ready to throw a party. You know, that's good. That's good for that one instance. You know, and this is the thing that, again, the media likes to pigeonhole the argument, you know, when just like with the protesters, and they like, oh, you know, they're protesting about, you know, Mike Brown or Eric Garner or you know, Tamir Rice or whatever. And it's like, those are just examples, you know, that remedy of prime example would say like Jordan Davis, you know, the white guy that got locked up for killing Jordan Davis, and the only reason why that even happened was because the other guys in the car were still alive to testify, you know.
Exactly.
But
and the thing about it is, you know about that case, well, they didn't ever convict him of murder at first of Jordan Davis. They convicted him of attempted murder on the other three.
Right. Exactly. So, but even then, you know, with that conviction, you know, that doesn't, you know, absolve, you know, the entire system.
No,
you
it
know,
doesn't.
Like
but
I said, you know, like I said, that you know, that's just, you know, like I said, the Washington Generals won one.
Well, you can put it that way, but it could also be seen that juror and or the prosecutors did the right thing. But okay, but let us go on into like this other article that I have here about the Oklahoma police release video. I'm sure you guys have heard about that.
Yeah.
Well, I'll go into it, but reading from the article here, it says Oklahoma police released a video Friday from the body camera of a cop who fatally shot a suspect earlier this month. Muskogee officer Chancey McMillan, responding to a domestic abuse complaint, approached 21-year-old Terrence Walker outside of Old Agency Baptist Church, according to local media. The video shows Walker run away and McMillan give chase. The suspect then stops to bend over and pick up something he had dropped in the street. From the video, it is clear what he is attempting to retrieve, but police say it was loaded. I misread that. From the video, it is not clear what he is attempting to retrieve, but police say it was a loaded semi-automatic pistol. McMillan fires 5 shots at Walker, who had set off running again, which strike and kill the young man. And it goes further to say that other officers arrive on the scene. One found the handgun on Walker's person before checking his vital signs. Walker, who was originally from Austin, Texas, that's the guy who was killed, had moved to Muskogee to attend Bacon College on a football scholarship. Muskogee Police Corporal, it says CPL, not CPT, so Muskogee Police Corporal Mike Mahan said Walker had been threatening to kill his girlfriend, saying he had a bullet with her name on it. From everything we can see in the video, the officer responded appropriately, according to KFOR, a news affiliate there. This officer had a split second to make that decision. We believe he acted according to his training. Some local resident told the NBC affiliate that the entire incident is a tragedy, but that they are happy it did not result in the sort of violence seen in other places such as Ferguson, Missouri. So, I'm gonna stop there about that. Had any of you all seen this particular shooting video?
Yeah, I saw that video. And I'm gonna say this, and some of you all may disagree with me. I watched it about 2 or 3 times, and the response time and what he did, I feel that officer made a proper decision on that. It was a proper decision because it was a split second. He stopped him abruptly from running from him. The guy is constantly telling him to stop and so forth and to stop and do what he did. Yeah, I hate to put it like this, being military, that was a clean kill. That was.
Well, you know, I would disagree with that. You know, primarily, okay. Well, I would disagree with that from the viewpoint based upon what the police was called there for.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't called there. Well, I won't get rhetorical, okay? But anyway, they were called there for a supposed domestic violence situation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then when the cop approached the guy, they even showed on the video, as you have seen, wherein he told the guy to put his hands behind the back, and he did ask the guy, why are you trembling or shaking? And at some point, the guy ran away. But I fall back on what I said firstly, and that was that the call was about a domestic violence situation. And being that the guy is fleeing, I don't understand why the cop felt that he had to shoot him. Granted, as the guy was running, it said that a gun fell out of his something fell from him, and he bent down to pick it up. But then again, you know, reading the article also did say that when the police approached him while he's on the ground, they took it from his waistband.
They found it on his person.
Okay, yeah. But then again, to fall back on what I said, he did pick something up and he did put something in his waistband and continue to run. But so therefore, he's not posing any threat to that police person. But I know in police terminology, he was a threat.
But the thing about it is, it was an ongoing investigation. One, two, we have to know is the call itself. The thing about it is the 911, they released the video. If they would release the 911 call with that, you don't know if he would call that it was a domestic violence threat and he had a weapon. That could have been the situation. You know, we don't know the whole scope of the call as well as the video. You see what I'm saying?
Well, that's true. But
so, go ahead.
But also going to another situation, bringing another situation similar, and I don't want to say perpetrator, but the person who the call was called on, it was also a domestic violence situation, and the guy was Caucasian, who the cop had approached. I don't know if you guys have seen this video also, but it turns out in this video, the white cop approached the white guy and was talking to him calmly, didn't even ask him to. Well, he asked him, unfortunately, too late, and he only asked and or requested that he take his hand out of his pocket. He didn't shout, he didn't demand, he didn't command. He only simply nicely requested that the white guy take his hands out of his pocket, which the white guy eventually did do, and in his hand was a revolver, and he killed that cop.
Here again, that's a perfect example of someone relating to someone else. What I'm going to say is, and that's what got him killed, him being relatable to him and not on using the same type of tactic he would use with someone like me or you, but being alert. He's not being alert and being comfortable with him got him killed, period.
That's
being honest.
But again, being honest, too. I mean, with that black guy who was running away, and he was therefore shot in the back. And as I'm saying, he wasn't really a threat to that cop. Regardless, the cop didn't know he had a gun. Well, because the black guy didn't give him the chance to search him. He just ran. But the thing I'm saying here is that the cop shouted at him, stop, and then just boom, boom, boom. I mean, in a real humane sense, over a domestic violence call. I mean, they know who the guy is because they can talk to people. I guess I'm talking into it because I just feel that. Well, you feel that it was justifiable, but to me, no, I don't feel that it was justifiable, not at all.
But
because there's a better way of policing.
I'm saying in the aspect of because if we think about it, if we're a panel of men here, and it's going to be unjust and just, but you got to look at it. It's an ongoing investigation. He's a suspect now in flight.
Well,
he drops him. Let me finish. He drops something, and he goes back to retrieve it. He became a threat when he bent down. When he automatically bent down to get what he dropped.
But he continued to run. We're getting bogged down into this
with the
here.
Details.
So let's move right along there.
I was gonna say, it's about choices,
good or bad choices, exactly.
The thing, I'm not saying that I can't say with certainty one way or the other as far as the shooting being justifiable, but when it comes to black people, the choice of shooting or not shooting, if a black person is brandishing a firearm, the choice to shoot him, versus a white person brandishing a firearm, the white person could be shot also, but the person, but the officer will choose not to. You follow what I'm saying? Like,
okay,
first
yes,
resort,
yes,
first
definitely.
Resort versus last resort. And I mean, because you could have somebody, you can have someone that just robbed a bank, armed robbery, and they running down the street with a 9mm in their hand, and the police still could make a choice, you know, to shoot a person, but they could still be in hot pursuit and say, you know, drop the weapon, stop or I'll shoot, you know, all of that type of stuff, or try to, you know, or try to apprehend the person until they actually point the firearm.
Okay,
so,
but we're going to go into a break right now, because we have already talked again over the allotted break time. And the break that we're going to go into now is from a song from Maya entitled Cherry Lips. But hold that thought, Russell. We'll be right back. This is Maya, Cherry Lips. Radio. This is Urban Society. Our caller number is area code 646-595-4038. That's 646-595-4038. Okay, and Russell, you were lastly saying?
Yeah, I was saying it's like a white guy, he can have a hostage holding a gun to somebody's head, and here comes the negotiator. The black guy, he got a hostage, they say, if you got a shot, clean shot, take it.
But okay, but you know what though? But like what you just said there is also related to another
Bunch
article that I had here that we went over last week.
Both situations are the same, but yeah, go ahead.
That we had last week, the 8 white people point guns at police and live to tell about it. That's the article. Don't say it like that, but basically that is what happened. So that's the article there. But also, you know, there was another shooting, and this one happened in Jersey. And I have the article here. It says a New Jersey Police Department released a video this week of a man being fatally shot by police as he got out of a car with his hands raised during a traffic stop. For an independent investigation into the death. And it goes on to say that the footage recorded a police dashboard camera showed a traffic cop a traffic stop escalating into the deadly confrontation in less than 2 minutes after one of the police officers said he saw a gun in the car's glove compartment. The death of Jeremy Reed on December 30th in Bridgeton has prompted protests in the city, local media has reported. Some protests have been similar to those over cases last year in Missouri and New York City in which white police officers killed unarmed black men. But in this case, I had to throw that in because what I'm going to read now. In this case, the video shows a black police officer identified in local media reports as Brahami. That might be the way his name is pronounced, Brahami, B-R-A-H-E-M-E, Days, approaching the car on Reed's side, said, "Hey, how are you all doing?" he asked cordially, before asking why they had not stopped at a stop sign. Within a few seconds, Days pulls out his gun and tells the white patrol partner, identified in media reports as Roger Worley, that there's a gun in the glove compartment. The article goes on to say that the video shows Day reaching into the car and removing what appears to be a gun and dropping it to the ground. Days repeatedly ordered the men not to move and show their hands, referring to Reed by his first name at one point. Moments later, shouts, "He's reaching, he's reaching." Days steps back from the car, and Reed emerges with his hands up around shoulder height. Almost instantly, both police officers shoot at him. Reed falls to the ground. So I'll leave it like that. But again, now here, this is a black police person, you know, shooting another black person. That's another.
I'm glad you said that.
Yeah.
Because the white supremacists latched on to that.
Quickly.
Y'all see, that was a black guy. First of all, understand that in the plantation, you got to have black overseers. You know, so just cause it's a black person, that don't mean shit. As the old saying goes, all our skin folk ain't kin folk. So
well, I'm gonna tell you what, in Chicago, it was a big thing known for this. You be scared of the black cops quicker than you be scared of the white cops, especially if it's a black and white partnership.
Right.
So that
yeah,
black cop gonna be three times worse. They're gonna be three times meaner.
They want to prove themselves. Yeah, they feel like that they gotta, they gotta show up, you know, to the white people. Like, yeah, I'm a good old boy. You can count on me, boss. You know what I'm saying? Like
Did
I
you
said,
see
Menace
to Society? If anybody
seen
Menace to Society?
You talking about Boys in the Hood? I thought you were saying Boys in the Hood.
The black cop and boys were the minister of society, the black cop, where he put them in the backseat and beat them up. The black cop and the white cop were private.
Yeah.
It's well known that.
But you know, though, some would describe that kind of attitude on the black cop as the Stockholm syndrome, and or some would even go further back in history and like call it, you know, the Jews in a concentration camp situation. You know, because they had Jews who were, you know, whatever they call, had positions of so-called authority, beating on other Jews, and then again, you know, leading other Jews into the gas ovens, you know.
Okay.
But like, concerning
right.
this particular situation
yeah.
here, you know, when I saw the video and listening, it appeared to me as it probably was a setup. In other words, that black cop knew that black guy, and now the story is that the black guy who was murdered, killed, that he had a previous record of having, you know, shot some other cop, not fatally, but he did shoot some cop, and he had spent some time in prison.
Oh.
So that is what
okay.
is said. So
can
that
I ask a question?
Said.
Can I ask a question?
Go ahead.
Can I ask a question? Did he get the license from that young man when he came up to the door? Or they called it went down real quick, because at one point you said he called him by his first name. So
Yes. I'm saying yes in the sense that yes, he did in fact call him by his first name. And like when I heard that, that sounded like maybe it was some what's the word for that? Some stalker type killing or some grudge
mm-hmm.
killing. Maybe you know this guy who was on the passenger side. Maybe they were messing around with the same girl. And, you know, this guy had a grudge against him. But whatever, that black police person egged the guy on. And then again, in a real sense, the black guy, I guess because, you know, the black police person was getting so hyper in telling him, don't move, I'm going to shoot you. I guess the black guy felt, yo, let me get out.
People are already
I don't have a gun.
People are already, you know, when you get, you know, when you're in that type of situation, you already in shock, and people respond in different ways and freeze or have a nervous tic, but not
yeah.
knowing which way is up. And then you get conflicting messages where they say freeze, and then they say get out the vehicle. Freeze, don't move. Get out the vehicle.
The vehicle.
Stop what you're
exactly.
doing. And it's like, wait a minute, huh? You know what I'm saying?
Which one?
You
which
know?
One you want?
And then he gets... When he was shot,
they took the weapon from him, right?
Was the gun was already removed? Correct.
Exactly.
Well, supposedly. So that's what I said. And then again, the gun was removed from the driver's side of the car, not the passenger side of the car.
I thought it was in a glove compartment.
Well, you know, the police were
there.
It was
in a glove compartment as a passenger sat.
Well, no, but like what happened was, okay, let me put it this way. Being that the police on the passenger, being that the police person on the driver's side supposedly reached in and got the gun, you would assume that, all right, the assumption can be what? That somebody took it out of the glove compartment and then passed it to that police person? Or
exactly.
what?
Because the thing about it is, how the hell did they see it in the glove compartment?
Well, like, you know, this
he probably went in the glove compartment to get his identification, and then bam,
okay.
there's a gun. But
there's
see, this is the thing, though. Even with, like I said, the frantic ass bullshit. You know what I'm saying? Unless the person reached for the gun, you know. Possession of a gun, I mean, you know,
it's
probably some of
the
conservative white folks might disagree. Conservative possession of a gun doesn't warrant, you know, you being executed.
Well,
you know
again,
exactly.
if there were white people in that car and it was a gun, then they would have said, excuse me, sir,
do you have a license for this gun?
You know what I'm saying? Then they would have went through the procedure. Then when they saw that the person, you know, then they saw the person had a weapon illegally, then it probably would have taken up, you know.
A different term.
I mean, yeah, exactly. You know, but a lot of the white supremacists was getting on, you know, they always have a rationalization for anything that happens to black people.
Well, the thing about
you
it
know?
Is one thing I do know being down here in Florida, that I have a permit to carry. I have a permit to carry concealed, because we do concealed down here. I always have to tell them, because when I got pulled over today, first thing came out of my mouth was he asked me where I have a weapon on me. Here's my license. I give it to him. Here's my license and my insurance, and here's my license to carry. You know?
Well, you were fortunate in a real sense that I guess they...
He's just like that black guy. He was in Florida, actually. This just happened. A black guy, like the 60, 70-something-year-old black guy,
yeah,
was going into
yes,
Walmart,
yes.
and he had the gun. He had a, you know, had a concealed carry on him,
and white folks
jumped on him.
Yeah, I read that also. I had read that. That was one of the related issues. But also, you know,
and,
here.
And again,
And again, the white supremacists were talking about, oh, and I said, now, if I had a dollar for every time I saw a white person going up in the store with a gun, with a rifle on their back, and this, that, and the other, and don't nobody tackle them. So I mean, but like I said, you know, anything that happens, anything that is of a negative consequence to black people, the white supremacists always have an explanation for it.
But the thing is, though, at least in that situation, that guy was arrested. The white guy was arrested for like assault. But he was in fact arrested for assault. But then again, based upon the article, the wording of the article, they were in a real sense praising him as well, calling him a vigilante. You know, like somebody who was performing a civic function, but that's another issue. But also,
he'd be arrested, but I'd be hard pressed if he gets charged.
But we know,
definitely not for no assault. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
because in their mind, he's a good good Samaritan. He just made a missed call. So
I'm down here and I saw it, and it saw it on the news, and they basically charged him with menacing, which is like a $500 fine. They charged him with menacing,
and then
they patted him on the back when they were to arrest him. Good job, or you know, get
well,
it.
Well, in the article, they had
he meant well. He just made a mistake.
But again, like in the article, they did say for assault, but then again, we are reading, you know, the established media. But I was gonna say something else.
You can be arrested for all kind of shit.
No doubt, but what you're charged with,
that's all that matters.
But all we know also is that according to the report, you know, he was driven away in handcuffs, but then again after that we don't know where they took him, but that's another issue there. But also I have this other article that concerns one of the commentators on one of these cable channels, Charles M. Blow. You all may have heard of him. I forget what channel he's on. I used to see him often when I would watch the news often. He's a black commentator. And they wrote this up about a situation that he found not himself in, but his son in. It says that New York Times op-ed columnist Charles M. Blow says he's fuming after his son was allegedly stopped by a Yale University police officer at gunpoint Saturday night because he apparently fit the description of a possible burglary suspect. In quotes, he says, "So my son, a third-year chem major at Yale, was accosted at gunpoint by a Yale policeman because he fit the description of a suspect." And then it goes on to say that he tweeted, he was let go when they realized he was a college student and not a criminal. Blow added, the guy's father, this Charles Blow, he said that Blow is shaken, but I'm fuming, he said. Well, more so he's saying that his son is shaken, but he's saying that he himself, he's fuming. You know, I read that, and I think to myself, what? It's like he didn't think that could happen to his son. But it did.
I live in Atlanta, not too far from in between Georgia Tech, Georgia State is predominantly black, so it's not really as perverse there. But Georgia Tech, oh yeah, please believe. You know what I'm saying? You gotta hold the bare books in your hand with a motherfucking cap and gown on. You know what I'm saying? So you don't look suspicious. You know what I'm saying?
Especially at
nighttime.
The thing about it is he's unrealistic. He's a young black man at Yale, or Harvard, I'm sorry. The first thing they're going to do is he fits the description. They love it. And you know that's a nice way of them just want to stop you. Hell, you get that all the time. I walk down my street and I fit the description. I had one guy tell me one time I fit the description of a black man. You know what? Everybody that walked down this damn street fits the description of a black man.
The fit description is a thing of a probable cause, so they can try to identify. Like it's fishing, you know what I'm saying? Because if it fit the description, then they have a reason to identify you, and then hoping that you have some type of warrant, you know, or anything like that. It's just a way.
Exactly.
It's just a way to fish, you know.
Exactly.
I mean, it is the same thing. The same thing happened to me. I remember I was working as a mechanic one time, and the police pulled. I'm walking. The police rolled up on me, talking about I fit the description and burglaries in the area and this, that, and the other. And then they say, oh, you know, and then they're like, oh, what are you doing with these tools? And I'm like, well, don't you see these coveralls I'm wearing and my name on here that says mechanic? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I'm doing with these tools. You know what I'm saying? And it had my place of business on there. I won't say, you know, on the air. I said, you know, I'm like, it's not even like, you know, homemade, you know, coveralls. These are company coveralls, you know.
Exactly.
So, but the idea, but then he was like, he didn't even put two and two together. That I got greasy hands and I got a socket wrench and this and the other, and you know, and I got on the, and I have on the proper attire, then you know what I'm saying? And he must have a legitimate reason to do all these things, or I'll be the dumbest criminal on earth that I'm going to commit a crime with identifiable attire on. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, Russell, yeah. Russell, it's a disguise. Why you breaking in people's house?
Yeah, I'm pretending like I work at this place while I commit the crime. So when they say, oh yeah, we believe that he works at such and such because he had that on, you know what I'm saying? But that's all part of my scheme. I mean, it's just loose. I mean, you know, I wouldn't even be surprised if that's how, you know, because the way white people process things, you know, as they say, is peculiar. So,
I love that word.
Well, you can say peculiar, or you know, but then again, I'll stick with that because I don't want to argue that point or just that word. But then again, listening to what you were saying as well as what Cobra Commander was saying, what I was thinking is that, you know, all these things are just, you know, what, deliberate harassment.
Exactly.
Basically. And you know, I think we have covered this before, how in fact we are just, you know, harassed by people who are in positions of authority, and at this point it happens to be the police whom we are talking about. They just feel that they can, you know, harass us and or what's another word, also seek to intimidate us. And then again, you know what? They think it's funny.
Like I said, we're talking about the mindset of the white supremacists. You know what
I'm talking about?
White people have no qualms about coming up on a black person in any setting. It could be in your apartment complex, whatever. And a white person, without any hesitation, will come to you and say, hey, what are you doing around here? You know what I'm saying?
Roll up on you quickly.
Can I, you know what I'm saying, state your business. Can I help you? Do you know someone? You know what I'm saying? No.
Exactly.
But you're
saying, perfect example.
Like, any white person or like
any
like,
white person?
Yeah,
any white person. I'll give you an example of it.
I'm ashamed that you would even ask such a question. You got, you know what I'm saying?
Let me ask a question. So what you all are both saying and or agreeing to that any white person, I mean, ununiformed, can just walk up. But wait, let me finish my question. All right, let me just say it this way. I want to ask the question. But like with me, that could happen. But I tell that person, none of your business. Point blank.
We're talking about the response. We're talking about the catalyst. We're talking about the notion. Not how you respond in dealing with it or whatever. You know what I'm saying? But the fact that it's something that you have to deal with. That's what we're talking about.
Okay, even that note, she's not giving a perfect example of it. My son came down here from college this holiday, just past, and he was walking. I live in a predominantly white area. He's walking down the street, just came in. He got off the bus. He came coming down the street. He told me, "Dad, the guy behind me, or two houses down there, are looking and asked me." And this white, my white neighbor walked up to my son and asked, "Do you know someone here? Are you lost?" He said, "Well, my dad's house is right here." "Oh, you know Mr. Orr. Come on, let me show you." They one across the street, two houses next to me, and one across the street were watching him like a hawk. And the other one across the street had his phone in his hand, waiting for him to do something. Because you can say none of your damn business, I guarantee you 2.3 seconds, the cops rolling up on you.
Well, in a case like that, it's got to be like, well, I do hear what you all are saying, I don't really experience that. But then again, I will say that I had experienced that on an occasion. Well, exactly that. It's a long story, but I have experienced that. Then again, that was just my response. It's none of your business, and I kept it moving, and so did he. But then again, if he had wanted to make it confrontational, he could have, but he didn't, so he chose to step off, and so did I. You know, but I understand what you are saying, that white people per se, but I will say, you know, the racist who is white, he will do that.
No, the average white person.
Let me
finish. The average white person has no sense of fear of a black person, period. And if they have any curiosity, anything they feel uncomfortable with, they will step to you and ask you, point blank, because in their mind, they have the right to do whatever they want.
So are you saying then that therefore the average white person is racist? Are you saying that as well? And saying the average white person will do that? Or are you saying that? But then again, even if you are, I can agree with that to a certain extent. But I'm just asking you.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
I think that. Yes. I think that when you say do you think the average white person is racist? I think that is a badly worded question. The reality is that this is a system of white supremacy. And
mm-hmm.
white people, and it's not about white people being racist or not. It is about white people choosing to exercise their dominance or not.
Or their rights, as they put it. They like to say their rights.
But okay, but like, you know, we can get
we can get bogged down in that.
You know, saying, you know, well, what is racism, and then again, what is white supremacy, and/or are they not both the same?
See, because there are white people that don't actively mistreat black people, but at the same time they're not proactive in that sense, but then at the same time they benefit from the privileges that come along with the mistreatment of black people and secondary citizens. They may not actively mistreat black people, but at the same time they don't actively work towards a system of justice.
They benefit from. They may not be a proactive racist, but they benefit from the dominant position. The dominant position
like Martin Luther King say, because white folks love Martin Luther King more than black people. Now, you know,
yes, they do.
Martin Luther King say, you know, in the end, we will not remember the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends. And you have a lot of white people that say that they're not racist because they don't exercise white extremism in that sense of, you know, active racist mistreatment towards
non-white people, but then at the same time,
they're not screaming it's wrong
they
either.
They're not working towards corrective action of those white people that do, nor do they work towards the system of justice. So in that sense, the average white person, is a suspected
racist.
White supremacist. Because the fact that I don't blame them, because what benefit does a white person gain from relinquishing dominance and superiority, except for that all of a sudden that they have this epiphany of benevolence? And
okay, we got like 10 seconds left here, Russell. We got like 10 seconds left here, so we're going to have to be signing off, and you all can give your Twitter handles, and then we'll be out until next week.
I wanted to finish my thought, and I'll probably forget it.
We'll be back next week.
Follow me on Twitter at Cypher Divine, CyPhertDivine, or Instagram. I just don't get_IT. So I just don't get it. But that's my IT. Tune in next week.
Well, you can follow me as well. This is Corporal Commander. I'm on Twitter at Hooligan Nation. And I'm out here. And, fellas, I enjoy talking to you all, man.
Okay, good. So we're going to thank everybody for listening and tune in next week.
All right.
Have a good night.
You was on the roll, Russell. You was on the roll, baby.
You know we can get away.
We'll see if I still know how to do this.
Say your name.
A lot of shit to get off my chest.
Every day I feel this.
Yeah.
Same
name, different game, my nigga. What's the outcome of being the mix between King and Malcolm? The youth in my city asking me how come they don't recognize you till you make a mistake. Say the South ain't lyrical, I beg to debate. Made a meal out of spam, continue praying for steak. But when you come from the bottom, just happy getting the plate. You ever wipe a tear from your mama eyes too young to realize that the bill she was told is still late? No Mr. Clark here, and all she had was me around to lean on. Just to see a smile, I'd give anything to be on. Told me dream on, you wasting your time. Never saw what I pictured, as if I paint for the blind. I can't explain what I felt in my veins, the game calling me, saying this is exactly what my calling be. It's bigger than living life just like the ballers be. Tell the youth to be king and queens like we ought to be. Late night ponders how I got in this position. When my life was out of shape, I needed more than a position. Appreciate them G's that kept a nigga out the kitchen. Told me I was meant for greater, swear they saw it when I didn't. Forever in debt to the streets for not making me a statistic. Chains kept calling my name, I finally listened. I'm just an extension of Trey, don't be typical. Can't make it to the top with your mindset elliptical. I'm gone. We can get out of here, you feel me? Poverty ain't nothing but a state of mind. And to make it out, you need a state of crying, you feel me? Ain't nobody gonna give you shit in this world. You gotta get up and go get it. Soon, go get it, my nigga. Holy thing, I'm afraid to do it fail. My niggas getting biz without the slightest hope for bail. I can smell all the hate that's in the air. Young niggas living life without a care. But how could you blame them when no one there? Might as well be. Ghosts ain't no hope for the hood. We ain't about that life, but we misunderstood. Zimmermans of the world make it hard to do good. Black with a backpack, they say you making a jug. I'm the brain pot spark to shed light where it's dark. Make my people aware it's a start. It's bigger than the hoes I be fucking with. Cash I be shuffling the weed. Smoke I'm muffled in distraction when they loving it. I'm only speaking up for the things I've seen and been through. Club shows and venues, realize I've been you. Whipping this old school daydreaming what I've been through. Pop told me stand firm, never let them bend you. This game ain't a game, got a son I gotta tend to. Cutting niggas off, close friends and some kin too. Don't take it personal, I'm trying to keep progressing, nigga. Selling myself short, out the question, nigga. Sue me, cause cause I'ma continue to do me. Got sluggers still in my spirit, I blossom into a Lucy. Ain't it beautiful? Hood nigga far from the usual. Shots in my city, what's my cue to go? Get it? I mean, really, niggas was shooting shots in my city. I figured it's time to pack my shit and go, you dig? Try something different. And you know, just like on the line, nigga, when that gunshot go off, it's time to get to that finish line. But y'all don't feel me, though. Y'all don't feel me, though. Yeah, closing remarks, I'm dope as Kendrick Lamar. Dismantling all these labels, the solo acts and the squads. Boy, your iPod is just a dry pod if you ain't got no Lucci on the playlist, make them shut up when you play this. I'm ill, how ill? Ill enough to make ASIC. Time to go back to the basics. Make sure you don't forget it when they mention what my name is. Lucci motherfucker, aka the South Savior. Nigga.